Elijah was a man who was called to do some work. And when he did his work, he was then called to a place of rest. And in each and every instance, he obeyed the Lord. I would venture to guess that many of us here today have work to be done. And it's good to work. The Bible talks about that. It's good to work. However, when you do that work and God calls you to a place of rest, you need to obey him in that avenue of resting as well as in the work that you do. Because it's in resting in his presence that you really become renewed. You become strengthened in the presence of the Lord. We sang the song, Standing on His Promises. The promises that you stand on, where you find your healing, where you find that filling of your spirit, is when you not just sing about it, though it happens there when we worship him. You worship him through song, but you worship him through obedience as well. Sometimes we find it easier to obey God when we have a job to do, but when God calls us to rest and do nothing, that's hard. But we're still to obey, nonetheless. See, God's calling us, and I want you to just open your hearts with me, to be open to finding that place in life where you just give God some time. You just give him some time in your day. Maybe it's going to be 5 or 10 minutes in the morning, a little devotional time. We've been talking about Sabbath and how important that is, and honoring him throughout your week and being able to honor the Lord with the time that you have. But it's going to require you to take that leap and obey. You know, the last week we were able to go as a family to go zip lining. It was Lisa's birthday, and so that's one of the things she likes to do. She likes to do crazy things. And she's kind of rubbing off on me. I've now parasailed with her. I did zip lining with her, but I am not jumping out of a plane. I do not want to go up in perfectly good planes, let alone jump out of them. So, but we took her zip lining, and Seth and I are not really a big fan of heights. Anyone here, not you're afraid of heights? Or it's okay to say that. They bother you. You know, you get a little, I don't know about this. So we're going to take her zip lining, and that, you know, you have to deal with some heights in that, but it's not as bad. You know, you're harnessed in, and, you know, if you think those crazy thoughts, just don't think about those thoughts. You know what we learned that you had to do? Just do it. Just leap. Just go. And so we went zip lining, and Seth said, Dad, you know, this would be fun to do, but it's kind of high, isn't it? And I said, don't think about it, man. Just jump. He's like, you just want me to jump? I said, don't think about it. I mean, of course, wait till you're harnessed up. But once you're harnessed up and they got you clipped in, just jump. I said, don't think about it. That'll make it more fun. He's like, yeah, that'll work. And but we did. We hooked up and we got to the first one. And of course, you know, Drea and Lisa, they're zzz, and they're all, and they're having a great time. And the first couple zip lines, Seth and I were puckering up and we're just, but we made it and we were doing just fine. And then we got to the next one and we're like, just don't even think about it, man. Just go. And we jump. And then about the third or fourth one, you zip line out into the middle of this field on a bar stool is what it looked like. You know, it felt like 8 people standing on this block of wood, way up in the air, way above all the trees. And it's cool. It was very beautiful. And as we stood there and we just looked around, I started just going, man, this is really pretty. Because you started to hear the story of what used to be here in the early 1900s. You got some history, and the trees were beautiful. You could see where a little stream or a creek or something, there was water down there, I know that. And watching it, I just thought it's beautiful. And then they're like, okay, it's time to hook up and zip on down. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't know about this one. And that's when, you know, Seth whispered to me, just jump, Dad. And we would just jump, and this isn't, before you know it, that boy's leaping off, and he's, you know, got Superman poses going on, and it was a good time. We had a great time together. But there was a point where we had to sit there and not just say, oh, but what if, or that could go wrong, or I'm too afraid, or I'm scared, or I'm worried. And there was a point where you just had to jump. You just had to take that leap of faith. You just had to simply do what needed to be done. Because, you know, we did have to man up a little bit in front of the girls. We couldn't, you know, be big chickens and unclip and go sit in the room. We weren't going to do that. But you know, when it comes to obeying the Lord, he's telling us the same thing. I don't know if I can do it. I know many of us here, we're very busy. We've got a lot of work to do, and work is good. Work is important. But what's more important than the work that you do is obeying the voice of the Lord. And when he comes and he says, you are to work and be responsible, then do that. But when he says you're to come to rest, we have no right to look at him and say, God, I can't. I'm too busy. I've got too many things to do with this job that you blessed me with. You see, we've got to make time for him. We've got to make time and make it a priority. And so I introduced you to the man named Elijah in the first book of Kings, chapter 17. Elijah the Tishbite. Doesn't that just sound bad? He's a Tishbite. You know, I have no idea what that means, but it sounds cool. He's from Gilead. And he wasn't like necessarily, he's portrayed as some huge barbarian, strong kind of guy. He was a man who God told to go do some work and tell King Ahab and all them people, it's not going to rain until I say it rains. And then God said, no, I want you to go rest. And he obeyed the Lord just 100% as much as when he did when he was told to go work. See, we got to make sure that we realize resting is not just about sleeping. Resting is not just about napping. Resting is not just about doing nothing, because when we were ziplining and having fun, that was on our Sabbath day. You can have fun. You don't have to be a bump on a log and do nothing. When you rest, it boils down to this. When you and I Sabbath, here's the message in a nutshell. We worship God. When you and I Sabbath, create a place of solitude in order to hear the voice of the Lord, we're worshiping him. You're worshiping him in that act of obedience as much as you were in this one in coming forward, because you knew there was something that you need God to do in your life. It's the same thing. It's about obeying him. He told Elijah, he said, go tell King Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say it rains. And he says, now go to the brook of Cherith, and I want you to go there and wait for me. I will provide for you. I'll give you food. I'll give you water. I'll give you shelter. I'll give you shade. I will take care of you. But you must go where I'm telling you to go. See, he's commanding it to us in Exodus. Honor the Sabbath, keep it holy. You see it in the life of a man named Elijah. When he does his work, the Lord pulls him aside and says that I want you to go to this place and I want you to rest in my presence. So there were three points that I want to bring across about rest that seem very simple, but yet we miss them. And I introduced one of them to you last week, and I said, number one, the principle of solitude is simply entering into the rest of God, or entering into God's rest. It's entering into God's rest. Now you might say, I know that. Okay, well, when's the last time you did it? You see, sometimes we have to remind ourselves of these things, because you can know it here, but if you don't know it here, when the chaos of life hits you, it doesn't matter how much you know you should rest. What matters is, did you? It doesn't matter how much you know you should feed your spirit. The question is, did you feed your spirit? Because that's what's going to be the thing that will be able to withstand in those difficult times. This principle of rest that God is calling us into, he says, just simply enter in. You don't have to impress him. You don't have to do anything to show off. It's a gift that God gives. So then we looked over at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 talked to us about this rest that God gives us. And I had two or three come to me and say, hey, have you read Hebrews 4 in a different translation? And I said, no. So they showed it to me, and I thought, that's very interesting. I want to read to you what it says in Hebrews chapter 4 about this rest that God calls us to enter into. In Hebrews 4, it says in verse 1 in the Message translation that there's a promise of resting that God gives to you and to me. And about verse 2, it says, but the promises didn't do them a bit of good, them, the children of Israel, earlier back when God was leading them, because they didn't receive the promises with faith. If we believe, though, we'll experience that state of resting, but not if we don't have faith. It goes on about verse 6 and says, those earlier ones never did get to the place of rest because they were disobedient. God keeps renewing the promise and setting the date as today. Today is the day of rest. For some of you, today is that day. It's the day when the light bulb will come on. It's the day when you'll say, I've received that healing. It'll be that day where you say, He's washed me from all of that heaviness, that guilt, and that shame. It goes on to say, the promise of arrival and rest is still there for God's people. God himself is at rest. And at the end of the journey, we'll surely rest with God. So let's keep at it and eventually arrive at that place of rest. Not drop out through some sort of disobedience. God means what he says, and what he says goes. Don't you love that? Doesn't he sound like the parent that just drove you up the wall? Why? Because I said so. Why should I rest? Because God said so. Why should I honor the Sabbath and keep it holy? Because God said so. And what we'll do is we'll get lost in this mumbo jumbo of how and when and all the legalities and what do we have to do. And we do that as an attempt to keep, it's a distraction to keep us from just simply obeying. Remember a couple weeks ago, it's not necessarily about the how and the when as much as it is the why. You can get all hung up in, well, I can't Sabbath until I know exactly how to do it. Yes, you can. Just give him 10 minutes in the morning. Spend time with him. You can't Sabbath 24 hours and take one day out of your week like the Bible talks about? Okay, how about 12 hours? Six. I had somebody come last week and said, Pastor, I only got to Sabbath 6 hours last week. And I said, how many did you Sabbath the week before? They said, none. And I said, then that's six more hours than you did the week before. Good job. You see, you just need to encourage yourself. I know this. When we introduced this rhythm of life and talking about Sabbath, here was my fear. Here was my concern or worry, so to speak, was we've got a lot of farmers in this community. We've got a lot of doctors, policemen, firemen. You're on swing shifts and doing different things. And especially for farmers, your season right now can be very busy. As a matter of fact, maybe those farmers aren't here at the moment because they came to one other service and they're back at work. And it's just constantly going. How do you make that work? And I said, I'm not here to tell you, here's my prescription for you directly from the Spirit of God, signed Pastor James Machen. Do this and you'll be okay. Here's what I say. Here's the Word of God. You go, get alone with God, and find out what God has to say to you about what it is you should be doing. And if you get alone with Him, He will speak. And when you listen and obey, I'm going to agree with anything else that God has to say. But you see, you have to go seek Him for yourself. And you have to come to that place of knowing what it is that God has told you to do. That's what it means. Take that leap. Just start somewhere. Just jump. It's kind of high. Just jump and enjoy the journey that God will take you on as you obey His word. You see, our world is so busy. To put it in today's terms, there needs to be a day. There needs to be a time where you get away from the hustle and the bustle of life, where you're not trying to make deals. You're not trying to get your way and your business. You're just getting away to rest in the presence of God so you can hear from Him. That's what it's about, hearing from the Lord. So the concept of rest, when Joshua finally got into the land of Jericho, Jericho was not Joshua's battle. Whose battle was it? It was the Lord's. The battle belonged to the Lord. Joshua was just a piece, an important piece in the plan of God, but he would not have known that had he not got alone with the Lord. You see, it wasn't Joshua's battle, it was the Lord's. Joshua went on and got the battle plan from God, and it was a crazy battle plan, by the way. You remember the story? Joshua, I want you to march around the building seven times, you know, once a day, and on the seventh day, seven times, and then I want you to blow a trumpet, and on that trumpet, and everyone shouts and hollers, the walls will fall down. You'd be like, Lord, you'd be praying for some clarity, wouldn't you? Because here's what I would be thinking. Are you sure, Lord? Maybe we should fast about this too. Maybe I should go talk to somebody else. Because obviously the voice of God is a little crazy right now. You know, are you sure you want me to do this? Because everyone's going to look at me and think how goofy I am. Do you realize how they're going to make fun of us? They're going to be, look at them walking around the building again. This is their third day in a row and ain't nothing happened. But what they don't know is on the seventh day, those walls are coming down. I believe some of you here today have some walls that need to come down. God is telling you to do something and it sounds crazy to you. But He says, will you just trust me? Well, you just trust me. And you see, you're not going to be able to trust the Lord unless you can hear His voice. And you're not going to be able to hear His voice unless you get alone with God. You've got to do that. Because how do you not know that tomorrow is the day, or today is the day, that those walls will come down, those addictions are gone, that guilt is gone, the shame, the past, the healing comes. You don't know unless you know the voice of the Lord. That's why it's so important. Joshua got this crazy plan. Then he said, this can't work except for the fact that God gave it to him. If God's given you a crazy plan, if He's given you a crazy word, what are you focusing on, the crazy or God? See, I love the fact that God can be a little crazy. It helps me be me. I love to be crazy. I love to have fun. But there's times when I just go, are you sure, God? I don't know if this is you. Because, Lord, if it was me, I would do it this way. Don't we do that with God a lot? And He says, well, it's a good thing you're not God then, Jim. Do it my way. And then I do that. Most times. See, Joshua got the battle plan from God. And you can only find out this battle plan when you're in the presence of God. And that's rest. That's rest. Pulling aside in solitude to hear His voice. The life of Jesus, by the way, was a very busy life. Did you know that? Jesus was always busy. So if you're here today and you say, I'm a busy man, Pastor. I don't know if I have time for this. Well, Jesus himself was very busy, and he made it a priority to pull away and spend time with the Father. Jesus was always walking around, and he had somebody to save and some problem to fix and somebody to heal and a disciple to correct. And you often read that Jesus became weary. He became tired. So we're not just talking about being lazy when we talk about rest. We're talking about recognizing your insufficiency, my insufficiency, and God's sufficiency for us. That's what he's talking about. See, in the Bible, he pulled away a lot. I read some of these to you last week, but in Matthew 23, it says that he, Jesus, had to go aside and pray and be with the Father. It says that in Luke 6:12, he had to go aside again and pray. Matthew 6, verse 6, he tells us to do the very same thing that he's doing, and he says, go into your secret place, that place where you're alone, and spend time with God. Mark chapter 6, verse 31 says he wants us to pull aside in solitude because it's there where rejuvenation takes place for what God has in store for you. Do you know what God has in store for you? I don't. Do you? Now, I might get a sense of what's coming, but you see, God will reveal that to you. He'll prepare you for that when you come to that place of rest. But that's our part. Write this down in that little bullet. Satan's best weapon is to keep us from rest. His best weapon is to keep you from rest. You may say, well, I thought his best weapon was temptation or deception or addiction. Well, don't get me wrong. Those are all great tools, and they're ones that he uses a lot. But I tell you, the one you don't hear about the most is the one you need to be the most concerned about. And that's when he just says, you know what? I can't get them to stray. I can't get them off the path of what God wants for them. They love the Lord, but you know what I'm going to do to keep them ineffective for the kingdom of God? I'm just going to keep them busy, even if it looks like another job promotion or a move up. Just because you're taking a move up doesn't necessarily mean God's the one that told you to take that move or that step. The enemy will do things to try to get you busy. Have you found that to be true? Do you know that? He'll try to get you so distracted and so busy to keep us from the quietness in the presence with God so that he can keep us from hearing the power of God's voice. How many of you believe that God is your healer? Do you believe it or do you just say, yeah, I've heard that before? There's a difference between I've heard it before and I believe it. How many of you believe that God's your provider? Well, you find that when you walk it out by faith, don't you? You declare it, you speak those promises, even if you don't feel like you're being provided for, it does not change the fact that God is not, that he's not your provider. He is. He is your provider. You walk in those promises. But what the enemy will do is try to keep you from discovering those promises. You might say, well, I've discovered them. Then he's going to try to keep you from walking in them and declaring them. Because if you discover the voice of the Lord, you'll discover the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you will overcome in every area that you face. And the enemy does not want that. So the question is how many of you want to be an overcomer? Well, we probably all raise our hands. Then the degree to which we will be overcomers in life will be very directly related to spending time in the presence of God, resting in his presence. God has something good for you and for me, but we're not going to hear it in the crowd. We're not going to hear it in the busyness of life. You won't hear it among the noise. You will hear it at the Brook of Cherith. This is where Elijah's at. Let me jump back to 1 Kings. Elijah's at the brook. He's there. He's being taken care of. He's being fed. He's understanding now this principle of rest, pulling aside to enjoy God and to be in his presence, to find out all that God is doing for you. You see, being by the brook will help you and me to distinguish the difference between concern and worry. You know, in life, we can be concerned about things. We can worry about things. Here's the difference. Concern is when you've done all you can do and you leave the rest to God. Worry is when you've done all you can do and you're still trying to do something, which is why the Word of God says, don't worry. Stop that. You know, we can get so concerned and worried about things. We were at a meeting yesterday for the Cambodia crew that's going to Cambodia. And they're getting together to meet with one another and get to know one another. And Seth and I went. Seth and I, now, we're very much a part of this. We support Lisa and Drea. They're going. We support the team. I support as the pastor of this church, so we're going to go. Seth, you're going to come with. And he said, why do I have to go? And I said, because you can support me. So we went together, and we went to this meeting, and they had a great time. And as we're walking in, he goes, Dad, why are we here? Because we're not going to Cambodia. And I said, dude, I said, we're just eye candy, okay? And I was just having fun with him, you know, and told him that. And he's like, all right. And so we go in the house, and we're getting ready to eat, and there's, I don't know, 25-something people gather around, hold hands, getting ready to pray. And they said, why don't we just go around and share your name and what you're going to be doing? And Lisa says, I'm, you know, pastor at Church of the Open Door. I'm leading the team. I'm so-and-so, and I'm going to be on the dental team. I'm so-and-so, and I'm going to be on the construction team. I'm so-and-so, and I'm going to... They kept going around. They got to me. I'm Jim Machen. I'm a pastor at the Church of the Open Door. I'm prayer support. They go around. They get to Seth. He goes, I'm Seth Machen, and I'm eye candy. And I hung my head for a moment, and I said to myself, that boy worries me. But then I looked at him, and I thought, not really. It's kind of a chip off the old block here, so... You see, concern is when you've done all you can do and then you leave the rest up to God. Worry is when you're doing all you can do, but you keep on trying to do more and more and more. Where does it come when you put your faith in God and trust Him? It's when you stop worrying. But then I'm concerned. Okay, well, be concerned. That's okay. Because we serve a good God who can answer us and give us what it is that we need. See, God tells Elijah to go to the brook and hide yourself from where he had just been. He's now in a place where there's no newspapers, there's no Facebook, no Snapchats, no cameras, no TVs, no Nintendos, no Wii's, nobody to congratulate him or pat him on the back. There's no accolades. There's no applause. And if truth be told, many of us love to receive that. There's nothing wrong with that, but we can let it become a prideful thing. There's nothing there except Jesus, except the presence of God. In verse 1, he stands victorious against Ahab. In verse 2, he's nothing. He feels like a nobody. He feels like he is just done, finished. He wanted to die, it says in the Bible, that he was so fearful. You know, Jezebel's coming after him. And this is where we learn something about, write number 2, write down about the place of solitude. The place of solitude is a place of rest. Now you might say, well, we're kind of repeating the same thing as the first one. Well, yes and no. It's about simply entering into it. But know that the place that you're entering into is a residential place where you reside at, and in that place is where you experience rest in the presence of the Lord. Let me explain what I mean a little bit more here. Understand that a brook in the Old Testament days was not a fancy place to go to. It was not. It was just a little muddy puddle is what it was. Larger than puddles, but they weren't kept up. It wasn't a great place. And to get alone with God, you don't have to have a special place built in your house. Did you know that? You don't have to go get alone and build an addition because this is the Lord. Is there anything wrong with that? No, absolutely not. The Lord blesses you to use it in your home. Use it and honor and worship the Lord. But did you know that God can hear you no matter where you're at? There is nothing that keeps back the presence of the Lord. When you cry out to Him, He hears your voice. So the question is, are you crying out to Him? Are you crying out to Him? He found himself in this place of rest, and he gets alone with God. And there's nothing wrong, again, I say, with having a special room, have a closet, have a special location. You know, for me particularly, I love a room in our house where the fireplace is. And when I go in there, that's where I love to kind of hang out. It's more of a quiet place for me. And we enjoy that room. That's our quiet place. But what makes that place special is not how quiet it is. What makes that place special is being able to hear the voice, meeting the Lord, hearing His voice, and what it is that He has to speak. Where's your place at? What place do you meet with Him? Where is it that you're hearing His presence, that He's speaking to you on a somewhat daily routine? You see, God created the earth, and one of the reasons He did, there's a little bullet there. I already hit that one. When you come into the presence of the Lord, the question is not, is God willing, wanting, or waiting to speak to me? The question is, are you ready to hear from Him? Because it's going to be about stepping out in obedience. It's going to be stepping out in faith. Now, God says, you hide. That is, you get alone by the brook. He says, go by the brook, the east of the Jordan, and there's no need going to the big Jordan. There's too much traffic going up and down there. Go where you probably won't be interrupted, he told Elijah, for a while. Isolate yourself. Find a place in your life, in your time, that's just for you and God. And he speaks the same thing to you and me. Find a place in your life, in your calendar, in the busyness, the hustle and bustle, where it's just time for you and him. Now, he didn't mean a place that nobody else uses. It's just a place that nobody else uses it while you're there. You know, you can say, well, it's our dining room. Well, I can't do that. Kids are running around and it's crazy. Okay, how about when they go to school? Oh, yeah, it's quiet then. Then use that place. Find that place, a place that you make where there's enough hush that if the Holy Spirit has something unique to say to you about a decision that you're facing, maybe it's about your job, maybe it's about your relationship, that you'll be able to hear it in your spirit because it's not overcrowded by your soul. And you can hear his voice. Do you have that place? That place where you can come and you can hear what the Lord is speaking to you. Because as we're talking about Sabbath, it's about setting aside time to be in the presence of God. He wants to speak to you and me. Now there's in Hebrews, we're not going to take time and go there now, but it speaks more about Sabbath and the importance of what it means to find that place of rest. And this passage is about the spoken word of God. And it comes at the end of the discussion about the Sabbath of rest. And what he's saying is when you enter into God's rest with the purpose of hearing his voice, what God will do is he will make a distinction between your soul and your spirit. Remember how it says in Hebrews chapter 4 that the word of God will divide, you know, right down between spirit and soul? What does that mean? Have you ever had a decision to make and you didn't know what to do? Maybe it's about, again, a job, a relationship, getting married. I don't know. But when you come to this place of rest, God says, I will give you my Holy Spirit that will be able to distinguish between what the Spirit is saying and what your soul is saying. Remember, we went through the series on the soul, right? The soul wants what the soul wants. And he says, when you come to that place of rest, I will distinguish, the Word of God will speak and distinguish what is you and your soulish realm and what is the Spirit of God. Now, you still have a choice to make. Once God distinguishes that difference, what are you going to do? You still have to step out in obedience. Are you going to lean into your soulish thoughts or like, I want to do what I want? Or are you going to lean into what the Spirit of God's saying? But how do you get that distinction, that know the difference? You come to the place of rest. You come to a place of rest and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. And he will reveal it to you. He'll help you know what's God and what's you, if there's any difference at all. God says, if you will come into my rest, I will scream into your spirit. I'll scream into your spirit. The reason we can't tell the difference sometimes between our soul and our spirit is because we're busy. We're busy talking on our cell phones while we're driving down the road. We're rushing here, we're rushing there without stopping and taking time to rest in the presence of God, simply so that we can hear his voice. We're so busy doing that we forget about being what God has called us to. I remember a time in my life when I was working on prioritizing, and I said, Lord, it's all about you, Jesus. And I said, here's what we're going to do. And I started, you ever tell God what to do? How did that work for you? It didn't work too good for me. And started telling me, he said, hold. He says, why don't you just come and hang out with me? And in the quietness of that time, the Lord revealed to me, he says, now, here's what really needs to be done. He said, Jim, the highest priority in your life is nothing that you can do. It's about you worshiping me. He says, your highest priority is me. I am your Father God, and you are my Son, and I bought you with a price, and I love you. That is priority number one. Priority number two is her right there. She's your wife. She's your bride, and you are to offer that spiritual leadership. That is priority number two. Your children, Jim, is priority number three. And I'm starting to think, holy cow, when are we going to get to the work? Now, don't get me wrong. Relationship with God, your wife, and your children is going to take work, right? But you see, what we do in our society is we say, no, it's about my job. We try to find our identity in what we do. And then he said, now, what you do beyond that will bleed out of that, but you're not going to be able to accomplish it without spending time in my presence, because that's where it starts and that's where it ends, in the presence of God. Maybe some of us here need to reprioritize how we're looking at things. Does what we do bring us joy? Maybe. But that can be short-lived. Maybe I would propose to you, it's not so much that it's bringing you joy, but it's bringing you happiness. Because happiness is temporary. Joy is a choice. It's something you choose. some of us may have to look at that and reprioritize a little. Because if you're too busy doing and you never rest in the Lord, we never fully hear what the Lord is saying. I am saying today that you can hear the voice of God. I'm not saying that you will hear audible voices. God may choose to speak that way, but I don't think he's chosen to speak to me that way yet. I have a feeling that if he did, there'd be a little accident that took place, you know. That'd scare me. But can God speak to us that way? Well, God speaks to our spirit, is what he likes to do. And you may say, well, how will I know when it's God? How will I know? You ever just know something? You just know. You ever have your kid walk in, and they've not said one word, but you know something's wrong. You know they've gotten in trouble, or you know they broke something. You don't know what it is yet. They haven't even said one word, but you just go, oh, I just know. There's something in my knower that I know they've done something. You see, God will reveal to you. How will I know when it's the Holy Spirit? You'll know, because you'll sense it in your very spirit. You'll know it in your very spirit. When you survey the scriptures, the men and women of God greatly used by him experienced, it was preceded by moments of rest, periods where they honored the Lord. They Sabbathed. They had a place of solitude. Moses in the Bible, he was alone for 40 years before seeing the burning bush and leading God's people. 40 years. It's a long time. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, man, God's not speaking to me. I haven't heard from him in 3 months. Are you, first of all, creating an opportunity to hear from him? Or are you just hoping that he'll just bless you right where you're at? I was talking to a friend, and I said it in first service, and it was very relevant. It spoke to me. I couldn't get it out of my heart, couldn't get it out of my head, because when I think about it, it's so true. How many times have you come, just put your hands out in front of you like this for a moment. Put your hands out in front of you like this. And when we come to God, there's nothing wrong with coming to God this way and saying, God bless me, is there? Nothing wrong with that. But many times what's happening is we're saying, Lord, I want you to, now put your hands out, put your hands wide out. I said, Lord, I want you to bless me with this, so here's what I'm giving. Do you see the difference? Many times we're coming and we're saying, Father, I want you to bless me in a supernatural way. Do you know that God wants to bless you? Do you know that? He wants to bless you. Do you know that God wants to heal you? He wants to heal you. Do you know that he wants to fill you with his spirit so much so that you can't contain it? Do you know that? Then why is it that sometimes we find ourselves, and I don't say this in a judgmental way, come and say, Lord, here's my cup, fill it up. But then we say, now in return, I want a trough of blessings. See, God will fill your cup because God is able to do that. Do you believe it? But the problem is if you say, but I want a trough of blessings, God won't give that to you because it would be wasted. It would be wasted. So it starts with, what are you willing to give God? It starts here. I believe this. I believe that if you say, God, fill my cup, guess what? He'll fill the cup. If you say, God, I want you to fill my jug, he'll fill your jug. You know why? God has got enough resources to do it. God, fill the pitcher. He'll fill the pitcher because God can fill the pitcher. God, fill the keg. I want to know why you got a keg, first of all, but he can fill that one too. If you say, God, fill the trough, he can fill the trough because it's not a problem for him. It's nothing but a thing. God, fill my barn. He'll fill your barn because God owns the cattle on a thousand hill and he can do that. God, fill my home. He can fill your home. God, fill my heart. He can fill your heart, but not if you come to him and say, but this is all I'm going to give. It's in the place of rest where God takes this, and he'll help you with this. He's helping me with it. Where he goes, Jim, can I take your hands? And I say, yeah. And then he'll pull them open a little bit more. Will you give me this? Yes, Lord, I'll give you that. A few days later, Jim, what can I hold your hands again? Yeah. Hold on. Would you give that? Yes, Lord, I'll give that. I'll be honest with you. There's sometimes where God says, can you give this? And I go, ah. And it hurts. Or there's a reason I don't want to give that much. But do you know that God is not trying to get you to open up so much because he needs something from you? He's trying to get you to open up because you need something from him. I need something from him. And it starts with saying, Lord, here I am. Will you fill me up? Where do you get this? in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord. It's when you come to this place, this brook of Cherith, and all of a sudden you come to a place of trusting the Lord, God will fill you up and you will know. You know, many of us either know somebody or have experienced this, or maybe you're this way right now, but you're frustrated all the time. You just wake up frustrated, you live life frustrated, you go to bed frustrated. Maybe there's not enough rest in your life. There's not enough being in the presence of the Lord. You know, what we do in our society is this. We want to get away from the hustle and the bustle. So in order to do that, we turn the TV on. And I'm not here to preach against for TV or not TV. I love TV. I love TV. I love TV series. I love watching movies. It's kind of my nothing box. I can stare at it and just veg out. But in our society, in general, when we want to get away from it, we numb the pain by turning the TV on. And then when the kids get loud or somebody else gets noisier, we turn the TV up so we can drown out their noise, also that we can have this quiet time and this place to just rest. For goodness sake, I just want to get alone with God. And we start getting mad and frustrated. And then somebody rings the doorbell. Oh, for the love of Pete, who's ringing my doorbell? And now our attitude has just gone south. And before you know it, we're the furthest away from being in the presence of the Lord. We need to get to this place in order not to live in a constant tone of frustration, to find that place of rest and be in the presence of God. That's going to take some silence so that your spirit can hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking. When you ask God for an answer to a question, you need to be by that brook. You need to be by that brook. An isolated place where you can hear from God. When you're in a critical decision-making moment, you need to be by the brook. When the doctor has told you some bad news, you need to be by the brook. What does that mean? That resting place, that place where you're seeking Him, reading His Word, praying, talking to Him. Not just because it's out of desperation, but because it's out of an inspiration inside of your heart. It's that place you need to be. I need to be by that brook. Moses, when he wanted to hear from the Lord, do you know what he did? It says that in order to hear the Lord and to go spend time with Him so he could hear Him, he took his tent, left the campground, and went outside of the camp, and he put up a tent so that he could be with the Lord. Why did he do that? Because it was way too noisy inside the camp. And he physically, visibly took everything and stepped out and got in a quiet place so that he could spiritually hear what the Lord had to say to him. So this is a quiet place of worship. Number three, write this down. The purpose of solitude is simply this: to get a fresh word from God. How many of you here need a fresh word from God? I believe some of you received it already. You got it in the midst of our worship. You got it in the midst of this message. And you're going to get it in this week as you go through and you create space to rest in His presence, to take time and to honor the Lord. Why do you go to the brook of Cherith? What's the purpose? Well, the purpose is to get a fresh word from the Lord. You see, standing before King Ahab is one thing, but going to Mount Carmel before 450 priests of Baal, that's another thing. Before you can get to Mount Carmel, where the big war takes place, you better pass by the brook. You better pass by the brook. Before you face the new challenges ahead of you in life, you better stay by the brook. Big decisions in life, go to the brook. Get to that resting place. Sometimes we find ourselves in life trying to hold on to old words from God. And God says, I want to give you a new word. Because I'm going to tell you something. The word God gave you for the season you were in will only work for the season that you were in. When God takes you into another season, the word He had for the season that's gone, so is the word. You need a fresh word. When we drive our cars, we do oil changes. Why, or at least we should. Why do we do that? Well, some of us here at 3,000 miles, clockwork, change the oil. Some of you, every 3 months, time comes up, time to change the oil. Some of us wait for the dummy light to come on and say, hey, change my oil. Some of us wait till the engine seizes up, and then it's too late. You see, God wants to get us in that place of rest, so we're not always waiting till the engine seizes up and something breaks down. We have to come to this place of resting so we can receive a fresh word from God. He provided for Elijah. I mean, He was giving him pot roast and Popeye's chicken. He was taking care of him, okay? He had food to eat, manna, water, rest, shade. But he only found that when he obeyed the Lord and came to that place of rest. When your brook dries up, though, what does it mean? Anyone here ever have their brook dry up? The brook is, this is where God sent me, I've obeyed. Now I'm being fed, I'm being watered, so to speak. I'm being clothed, provided for, taken care of, pampered. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And then the brook dries up, and you go, oh no, what did I do wrong? Isn't that how we respond a lot? What did I do wrong? What's going on? I don't know what's going to happen now, and we get into a panic. If you've been in life, and it's been, maybe it's a financial, it's health, maybe it's marital, maybe it's job, maybe it's moving, I don't know. But all of a sudden you notice that your brook, the thing that supplies you, dries up in your life. What does that mean? It means God is getting ready to do a new thing. You see, Elijah spoke to Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say it rains. And then he ran, and he hid by the brook to rest for the next thing, which was the battle that would take place on Mount Carmel. He could not accomplish that unless he had this moment of rest. No more than you and I can accomplish what God has for us if we don't learn what it means to rest in his presence. Have you ever asked yourself, why does it seem like I can't get to this place that God wants me? I just feel this in my heart. Could it be that you're not going by the brook? Could it be that you're not honoring him nor obeying him by resting in his presence? Because had you done that, you would have all it takes to go to that new season in life. You see, brooks will dry up. And it doesn't mean necessarily that you did something wrong. Sometimes it's because change is coming. How many of you like change? When seasons change, you know, sometimes, I don't mind when seasons change for you. But when they change for this guy right here, my whole world, I question everything. See, when that brook dries up, it means God's got something fresh and new that he wants to do in your life. He's got something else cooking. Something else is happening. When your brook dries up, it doesn't mean that the program's over, but that something new and something fresh is going to happen if you will stay focused on God. Let me end with this. Some police officers were talking about shoplifting and how that takes place in stores and how a lot of people would go in and just rip off the stores. They said, you know how they do it? Typically, you know, we just think, well, somebody goes in, tries to be sneaky and deceptive, and they steal something. And well, yes, that's shoplifting. But he was talking about how they are very effective in moving as a group. What they'll do is they'll go as a group into a store, five, six, seven, eight of them. And what they'll do is they'll get two or three of them to go over here on this side of the store and start causing a distraction, start creating some noise. Start creating some loudness. So all of a sudden, the store manager and the other employees start focusing on them and go, hey, we've got a problem. And everyone starts to draw in to what they perceive as the problem. And while they're drawing in on those two or three, the other four or five are ripping off the store blind because nobody else is watching. They will do anything they can to be manipulative and sneaky, and it's only later that the store owner sees or recognizes that he's been ripped off. Can I tell you this? Satan wants to rip you off. He wants to rip me off. And I don't know about you, but that should create a little bit of holy ticked off something or other inside of your life. That should make you want to stand up and say, oh, heck no, that's not the way it's going to happen. That's not who God created me to be. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the victor. I'm the head, not the tail. I better get in here and find out what God has to say because my words aren't going to cut the mustard, but I know that if I get near him, the enemy has to flee. See, but many times what we do is we allow the enemy to distract us. We go, what's going on over here? Why are we fighting? Are you in? Fussing and cussing. Why does this all have to be happening? And the enemy's ripping us off blind. He's stealing our joy. He's ripping us off in those relationships. Satan wants to distract our lives so that his agents can ransack us. God wants you to come to the brook in order to get rid of the distractions so that you can hear one simple voice. And that's the voice of our Father God. So, Father, I pray today. Lord, I pray today that for those of us, you've been tugging on our hearts. Those of us today that have been receiving, listening, hearing your Holy Spirit speak, you know who you are, and the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you. Please don't avoid that. Run from it. Hide from it. He's only doing that because he wants you to get by the brook, because he says, greater is he that's within you than anything else in this world. You want to know how great you are? Go to the brook. You want to know who you are in Christ Jesus? Go to the brook. Spend time in the presence of God. Lord, I pray for those of us that are here, Lord, that you've been tugging on our hearts. Lord, you've been speaking to us. That's me. That's me. I know I need to create that time. I know that I need to reprioritize. If that's you, I simply want to do that. That's you, simply raise your hand and say, that's me. Respond to the Lord and say, that's me. I've got to reprioritize. Yeah, that's me. I've not made it a point to rest in the presence of God. That's me, and I need to respond to the Holy Spirit. If that's you, raise your hand, because I'm going to pray for you that the Lord will reveal to you and give you eyes to see what it is that he sees, because he sees from the brook. Father, you see their hands and their hearts, and I pray in the name of Jesus that you will fill them with your Spirit. That, Lord, as they make a decision to say, I've been trying to do this on my own, and now I'm going to do it your way. Lord, we submit to your lordship and say, Jesus, fill our hearts. Help us to discover not just how to get by and be happy, but to discover what true joy is all about. So, Lord, I pray that as we raise our hands and say, that's me, Lord, you're going to release us from any commitment or wrong vow that we've made to others or the world, and that we're going to run free in the name of Jesus and run to that place so we can hear your voice in Jesus' name. Go ahead and put your hands down. Are you here today and you've not made a decision for Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I don't want to let a moment go by to ask this. If you're here today and you've not asked Jesus into your heart, if you've not asked him to come into your life, you don't get to have those benefits of the Father without being in relationship with the Father. Are you here today and you need to make that relationship right? If it is, simply do the same thing and raise your hand that I might agree in prayer with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to agree in prayer with you that you can say, that's me, and I don't want to leave today without knowing that. I agree with you, my brother. You raise your hand. God fills your heart. He forgives you of anything that you've done wrong. And he says, even though you think you're young, he says, you are a man of God. Walk in that and understand how God will bless you. Any other hearts here today? I agree with you. God sees your hand and your heart. And as you raise your hand, don't worry. You don't have to have it all figured out. God says, you are my daughter in whom I am so well pleased. And I want to bring a blessing into your life that you've never experienced before. And the only way you're going to receive it is through hearing me. Spend time in my presence. Spend time and find out how much a heavenly Father loves you. Don't compare him to an earthly father. He's your heavenly Father. I agree with you, my brothers. You raise your hand, God sees your hand, and he sees your heart. And as you raise a hand up, and as you surrender to him, he says, as you surrender to me, I fill you with everything it is you need to accomplish all that I've set forth in your heart. And all the things that you don't even know exactly what it is you're to do with yet, he will reveal to you as you spend time in his presence. And as you raise your hand, he says, by the way, all that stuff that maybe no one else remembers in the past, but you keep remembering. He says, I choose to forget today. It's gone in the name of Jesus. He buries it under the blood. You are forgiven. Is there any other hearts here today? Wait for just a moment. Well, Father, I thank you. Jesus, for each and every one of us that have made a decision today, it says in heaven that you are rejoicing over the decisions that have been made. Lord, when we've said yes to you, our sins have been buried and they are no more. And we are free, brand new in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for that and ask it all in your name. Amen.